Blog Talk Radio.
Shelly Nunchuck Show, and usually I do my show Sunday afternoon, but I wanted to do a special show tonight, and I decided I want to, you know, give back since I've been getting chances to work more and more in film, and I've been working on a great film myself called Valcare, where I've always wanted to play a Wonder Woman, you know, like a superhero, so now here I am. We've been working on it for quite a while, and we are Superwomen, you know, that's going to fight good and bad. And, you know, there's another thing I'd like to talk about tonight. Now, I am asking people if they do call in, you know, as guests. I mean, I'm going to bring some guests on the show, hopefully. I think I see someone in the queue. But there's other things besides having my dream of working with Jackie Chan, which I do think in 2013 is going to be the year, that I'm going to be given a bigger platform to be able to do things and to give back in my own way. And something I'm going to become part of, hopefully I'm going to fit in my schedule somewhere, part of this film called Bullied the Movie. And it has to do with, you know, bullying. And I've seen more and more these things on YouTube, and it's a bad trend that I would like to eradicate and get rid of. I've been seeing kids as young as 10 years old writing their suicide note through YouTube and committing suicide and stuff, and it's just really a horrible, horrendous thing. And I wanted some way, somehow, to give back and be able to talk about this. And I'm hopefully a couple of the guests will be on the show, and I think I do see someone there. And once again, if people do call into the show, I hopefully do not talk about sexual orientation, do not talk about politics. Please do not be rude to my guests because I will disconnect you. I'm not going to have a Howard Stern type of show. This is just like in my house. I invite a guest into my house. I invite them on my show. They will deserve a little respect and, once again, be respectful. So I am going to bring someone on here. Let's see who this is. Give me one moment. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hi, Ann and Ashley.
Hi, Ann. How are you doing? And Ashley. Hi. Welcome, welcome.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing good. And you?
I'm fabulous.
I heard you got to do some homework, so I'll try not to keep you too long, okay?
Okay.
I'm very happy and honored to have you both here, and I just had a couple of questions, and, you know, the way I do my show, I ask a little questions, and I know we can only talk a little bit about the movie tonight, and I'm just bringing up, I have some notes for myself that I want to go over that I do have, and the thing is, just to start off with, it says here that writer and producer, I guess is Cece, is that correct? I'm trying to get this information straight. Who is the writer and producer? Is that Joe or Cece?
Joe is the writer.
Okay. And then is Cece is the producer?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure because I don't know if Joe is going to actually be able to call in. I know Cece was busy, but she was able to get a hold of both you, and I'm welcoming you on the show here. And I'm just going over some notes. Like I said here, I usually ask a few questions and you guys can talk and tell me about, you know, a few different things. And what I've seen mostly is this really bad trend on YouTube, and it's a lot of kids. I mean, I haven't been in school for many years. I won't give away my age. And I don't have children per se, even though I do work a lot of kids on set. And this thing that is very disturbing to me is the fact that I see YouTube and it is kids as young as 10, even 9, have been taking their lives due to bullying. And I remember as myself as a teenager, I was bullied and harassed. And for me, I don't know if I would have thought of taking my life, but seeing that these kids are doing that, I can't comprehend it. And it's something that I want to be part of with you guys. And hopefully, you know, that's something we can show to the world and try to promote this film. And so how did you guys, you know, if you can, tell me, how did you guys get on board? And Ashley, if you want to start, how did you get into acting and how did you get on board in this project?
I started acting 3 years ago. And the first thing I worked on was 13 in Suburbia on Lifetime. That was a bullying themed movie. And I was approached by Joe and Cece to be part of this production about a year ago.
Okay. And when you were doing the thing on Lifetime, now I have to let you know that ever since I moved up to Maine, I haven't gotten TV and I've had only Netflix. So I'm not up to date with all the latest films and stuff, so forgive me on that. I just, with Lifetime on this film, where were you playing the victim or were you playing the bully?
I was playing a cheerleader just as an extra, so it was just my first movie that I ever did.
Okay. Did you get to see the acting done or were you just mostly involved in the background? Or, I mean, did you get to see any of the acting things that were going on the set?
Yes, I was a featured extra, so I was welcome in hair and makeup and around the actors and everything, so that's cool.
And did you get to see the film itself afterwards?
Yes, I did.
Okay. And what was it something, was it based on a true story, or was it something that, you know, somebody had written?
It was based on a true story.
Okay.
A girl... sent a picture of herself, and then some girl got a hold of his phone and sent it to a bunch of people, and then the girlfriend takes her life because of it.
No, see, like I said, I don't have children myself. I just say that, you know, I work with kids and stuff. Is it something, since, you know, I believe, you know, since you're still in school, do you see this? I mean, do you see this in your school and stuff? You know anybody that has to deal with things like this?
Yeah, I definitely have seen some people go through things, and I try and help them out and stuff.
And is that why you wanted to become more and more a part of these type of films?
Yeah, and plus I've been bullied myself and harassed, so it's good to always be part of those things and just speak out against it, and I'm very passionate about it.
Mm-hmm. And what did you do, if you don't mind me asking, if it's something that's okay, you don't have to answer it, but when you were in that situation with bullying, you know, how did you handle it?
There was a lot of people I could talk to. I talked to my parents, I talked to people in the school, and I just talked to a bunch of people that were there for me, and they got me through it.
From what I know, you know, it's really hard because I know kids, like, when I was in school, you were afraid to tell things because, you know, it seems like something in the yard in school, and you're afraid to tell because you feel like it's going to make it worse and not better. And what would you say, I mean, what would you give out advice to children your age? I mean, what would you tell them to do?
I would tell them that it's important to let people know what's happening and to tell your parents how you feel. And my mom supported me from the beginning, and when I told her and everything, I think it's better to tell someone than keep it all inside and make it worse.
Okay. And if I can ask Anne, if I can ask, like, how did you feel? I mean, did you know that your daughter was being bullied? What did you do? How did you handle it? Because I know it's a situation that's hot and frustrating because the kids have to go out and live their lives, and you can't be around them 24/7. How did you personally handle it?
It was really hard. For a long time, I was just, you know, there for Ashley, but we didn't necessarily do anything with the school or report anybody. And as things got worse, I realized that I really had no choice. She was just really unhappy. And so we spoke to principals and the school psychologist, and, you know, then they'd call kids in and, why are you doing this? Why are you harassing Ashley? Stuff like that. It's tough to watch as a parent. It really just rips your heart out when your child's upset.
You see, it's so hard for me. Like I said, I've never been a mother. I mean, I see these videos and such, and I will never understand what parents will go through. I've just been on the end of being the bully part, and something where I don't know if it's something where I try to talk to kids, and it's something where maybe we all can talk together. And with me, how I would think of it, I mean, violence is not the answer. And there's kids out there that aren't strong, and sometimes, you know, they get hit by these bullies. And the only thing I could think of is if they can learn how to defend themselves, and, you know, with martial arts, you know, I would say go to a dojo to train and not to get revenge or anything. And I think there's a lot of martial artists that, I mean, in things that I do, that try to teach about kids, like Chuck Norris is a big advocate of it and many other things. And what would you say if someone said, you know, if it got to a point where she was being hit or something, would you think of bringing your child to a dojo to learn self-defense only for defense only?
I definitely wanted to learn self-defense. I mean, I've always taught them that violence isn't the answer. Never, you know, never to back. Just because somebody's being mean to you doesn't mean you turn around and be the bully like they're being. But if it comes to somebody's safety, you do have to be safe. And that doesn't mean hurting somebody. It's just, you know, defense mechanism that protects you out on the street, protects you from bullies.
Yeah, and that's, that's something where, you know, a combination with everybody, you know, speaking together and coming together, seeing to kids to protect themselves, because I don't know how it is in the schools. Has it gotten worse over the years with the bullying? I mean, the internet, see, this is the thing that's new to me with seeing the, you know, the YouTube of the kids taking their lives. What, I mean, has it progressed? I mean, is it worse on the internet? And if I can ask Ashley, do you think, I mean, why can kids not just walk away from the internet? Do you know what I'm saying? Just step away. Do you think that would be an answer?
I mean, you definitely try to, but it's just going to be in your mind the whole time. And if they're writing about you and stuff, then you can't get past it. It's just always there.
Is there a way that, you know, like I know because kids, you know, with myself too, I use Facebook and other things on the internet. Is there a way, I mean, it's like if they can actually change their accounts, make it private and only invite the people that they know?
Yeah, I mean, you block the people and report them and make your profile private.
Mm-hmm.
There's also
what was that, Ashley?
There's also a website where parents can go on and monitor their kids' Facebooks.
Oh, really? What? Are you serious? I didn't know that. What site is that?
My mom knows. I don't.
Oh, Mom, what? What's the site? Let people know.
No. I will definitely post the web address on the Believe the Movie page. Because I'm blanking on, I mean, one of them is like parent.org, but there's a lot of sites, and you can, you know, whether you want to check IMs or if you want to check it for Facebook or Twitter, just to know what's going on, because so many kids just don't tell their parents that they're going through this, and then it gets really out of hand, and I think, you know, the earlier they know it, the better off that you can make it stop and help your child.
Yeah, this, I mean, when you, have you seen any of the videos with what I'm talking about? I don't want to get into detail because they're very disturbing, and it, just seeing it, the one that really got my attention, I've been seeing stuff more and more, and this one girl lately, Amanda Todd, and I don't know why, I was like, I had enough, and it's something where I wish I could just obliterate that kind of, you know, kind of trend to stop. I mean, is it something, have you ever seen any of these videos?
Yeah, I have. I mean, there's a lot of people that speak out about their bullying on YouTube, and just, it's really upsetting and sad, and I feel bad for them, and I wish I could help them, but.
And so, are you an advocate? I mean, do you do anything besides the films? Do you do anything in school? Or, I mean, is there anything else that you do besides film to bring awareness?
I'm starting a program in my town with my brother against bullying, and we're going to start speaking at places. And the representative of Marshfield is helping us with it. So, we should be having that happen shortly. But, yeah, we have a lot of support from the representative, the school committee, and a lot of other people. So
that's really awesome. I'm really proud of you. I mean, like, a lot of kids, they're just mostly into, you know, doing the typical, I think, the dances and all, just about fashion and everything. And when you do something like that, you help other people. It's just really amazing. And you must be such a wonderful person, Ashley. I mean, you must have a great mom, because if you're doing this, it tends to, like, stream down from your parents. And I just wanted to know, Anne, how do you feel about this, that she's actually doing a film that's actually worthwhile?
I love it. I'm really excited because she, you know, just everything that she's gone through, she had even made a video that will probably be posted on Bullied the Movies page soon. And that was just kind of, we didn't even have a script. She did it all herself and made it herself. And she was crying in the video. And that just showed the raw emotion that's still going. But she still feels the effects of everything. And she really got to a point where she's so tired of seeing kids be hurt or taking their lives. And, you know, if she can get the word out and help people, then that's great. Being an actress, I think we have more possibilities to help get the word out in media. So I'm very proud of her.
I think I did see that video, and I was like, oh, my gosh, she's got really raw emotion. And that's what, you know, from experience, when you, from what I know, you know, I'm not, I've never taken any classes or anything in acting, and I can see that, you know, you have that raw emotion, Ashley, and that's something good, because I don't think that's something that can just be taught. It's something, acting is based upon emotion. And when I saw that, I was like, oh, she's a little firecracker. I'm like, wow. And I was like, you made me almost want to cry, because I can relate to that, and it's something painful, I mean, for me to take personally about this. And I think you're doing a wonderful thing. I think that's really awesome, and I know I only have about 10 minutes left, and would you be able to talk about, you know, a request for people to send bullying stories, you know, publicly? Is there something, is there an email or something? It's, I was asked to, you know, I was trying to take down some information. Is it this, is it bulliedstories@gmail.com? Is that where people
yes.
can write to the stories?
Yes, instead of bullying stories, because we want to hear them, and yeah, they can just send them to that email, and yeah.
Okay. Is there anything else? I know you have to do your homework, but Mom or Ashley, is there anything? Yeah, I know. I was like, I could keep you here forever, but you know, you got to be a good girl and do your homework too. Is there something else that you want to bring to the table tonight? I mean, anything else you can talk about?
Well, I would advise people to like the Bullied Movie Facebook page. And just follow along with what's happening on the page and stay tuned for you.
Okay. And do you have like any inspiring words that you would love to tell? Do you have any sayings or anything that you could tell the kids out there?
I have a couple. I mean, I always say unbroken, because I always feel like nothing can break me. I try and keep myself strong and don't let anything bring me down that much. And I say stay strong, but I got that from Demi Lovato, so she's one of my inspirations against bullying, so I really look up to her.
Is that a singer? What is the person's name?
Demi Lovato.
Okay, I think I know who you're talking about. I know a little bit about her. And does she have, is it the songs, it's the stuff that she's written that you can relate to?
Yeah, she was bullied as a kid, and she still is, and she had to go to rehab to fix some stuff that she was dealing with, but she's very passionate about anti-bullying, so she's really something to look up to.
Okay, and I think the email I just had here to send stories to bulliedstories@gmail.com. It's bulliedstories@gmail.com. Sorry that I talk funny sometimes, so I just want to make sure I had that right. And is there anything else? Because I know we're getting close to the time of being cut off. Mom or Ashley, anything else you want to bring to the table?
You got anything, Mom?
Just, you know, if there's any kids listening, just to know that even though they think that they're alone, there's always somebody out there. And if you're not lucky enough to have it from a family member, there are sites to turn to, you know, even hotlines. And if you send us your stories, you know, we'll be in contact with you. I know Ashley enjoys reaching out to people and kids. And, you know, her ear is open. If anybody ever wants to talk to her, she has a fan page, and they can write to her, and she'll write back.
Okay, and is it her fan page itself? Where is it that they can go for the fan page?
The fan page is just her name, Ashley Tremonti.
Okay. I want to make sure, you know, I want to make sure I had a thing around. Is there anything else? Does she have anything, you know, is she looking to any other projects besides the Bully Project? Anything else? Or
she's got a few things lined up right now. We just finished wrapping a web series, Cheerleaders vs. Redneck Zombies, which she had a principal role in. And along with Bully, she's also been doing these short poems, type films based on bullying, and she did one last weekend, and we're shooting the second part next weekend, and she's the girl who's being bullied in that. and have a couple of thrillers lined up for the spring. So she's got a few things around the corner.
So she'll be staying out of trouble for a long, long time, right?
I think I have her booked till the summer.
Good. See, that's good. Acting is a great, you know, a great thing to do. And, you know, I wish you much success. And I, you know, hopefully, you know, somehow I can be part of this. I have my own schedule. But, you know, it would be great to meet you guys and hopefully get to work with you guys sometime in the future.
Yeah, I'd love to meet you. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. And believe me, when we have something else set up, you guys will be back on the show again, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you, and do your homework, study hard.
Okay, thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, it looks like I have another caller on the air. Hold on for one moment, and thank you, Ashley, and thank you, Ann, for being guests on the show, and I look forward to hopefully working with you, and we'll just bring this subject into a higher platform to try and make a difference in the world out there, so let's see who this caller is. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hi, hey, Shelley.
Hi.
This is Tommy Turvey Sr. Tommy Turvey Sr.
Tommy!
How you doing?
How are you? Oh, my gosh. This is awesome.
Yeah, your voice sounds different than I expected.
Well, yeah, I guess I'm kind of like, you know, I'm not all hyped up on set. I think that's what it is. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
when I'm all set, I'm all energetic and here, you know, I'm just sitting around talking to people. So it's just, the energy is different and just relaxed. I'm, you know, in my own little studio up here and I'm just so excited. You're on the phone here with me and I'm just, I never thought I'd be able to talk with you.
Sure, just call me anytime.
Yeah, and I just got so excited because I swear I was watching The Walking Dead, and I just literally jumped out of my seat. And I was like, you know, no one, like, they thought I was like, is that Tommy? Because when you were in The Walking Dead, you know, I saw that scene, and we're watching on my brother Z's house, and it's like, I see it, and I look at it, because I know what you look like. You know, you didn't say anything, but I was like, you do stunts, and I tend to think that I notice something. I don't know why. I can notice people when they're doing stunts. Like, that looks like Tommy. I was like, that's Tommy! And I was so excited. So what's up? What's going on?
Well, I don't know. I just, I wasn't for sure how to get on your show or anything, so I just said, I'll call up there and see if I got the right number.
Yeah.
But I noticed you were doing something on bullying with kids, and that's kind of my big thing now is working with this because I never realized how much it happens to kids. It happens all the time, and we always should take care of it.
Yeah, and I just, I don't have children, and I haven't been in school for years, but the end on it that I know is I got bullied and beat up, and neighbors, you know, they just watched, and it was just horrible, and it's like I felt like it was my fault, but you know, I did survive it, but the thing is, when I'm looking at it and people are like saying, you know, kids are taking their lives, and they say, well, that's not, you know, why would they take their lives over it? It's like, if you would only understand, if you're on a child, you know, in their shoes, it's kind of embarrassing. It's humiliating. I mean, I didn't think of taking my life, but seeing these videos and just watching them, I mean, I don't always talk about these things. I talk mostly about Jackie Chan and stunts, but I go, you know, I'm getting the bigger voice. I have a radio show. Let's see if I can do stuff. And I happened to see this, and I said, you know what? It's something that I wanted to be part of. Some way, somehow, and I think this is the thing that I'm supposed to do. And, you know, just to be able to hopefully people bring in attention, maybe more people in the entertainment business will be able to see this. And it's not about, this film is not about fame or fortune and all those things. It's about children and their pain. So, I mean,
sure.
you have kids, right?
Yeah, I got five.
So, you know, I mean, they're all different ages. Is that correct? I mean, of course,
yeah.
You know, but I mean, you know, well, do they deal with this at school?
The only one that I really had problems with is Kimberly. She's my youngest. She's a member of Screen Actors Guild. She's black belt in martial arts, so she can handle herself, except she was a little smaller. So one of the larger girls was picking on her. Well, Kimberly come home and said, hey, this girl at school is picking on me. So loaded my daughter up in my truck. We drove over to the kid's house, and her dad answered the phone. I said, hey, we got a little problem here. Can we take care of it? He come right down on that kid. We took care of that problem without involving anybody else. My daughter was never bullied again. It was just so easy to take care of. But I don't know. Maybe there's some parents who wouldn't help like that. Maybe there's neighbors or school people, but I don't think so. I think if you go and you talk to the kids' parents, you're going to work out something right now, I think.
I mean, sometimes I don't know. I think everybody's situation is different. That could help, but it's, you know, I think kids are scared and they're really afraid to talk to their parents, even though we can sit there and we can say something. A child, I guess their mind is, I mean, I'm not a psychiatrist or doctor or something. It's just like I said, I was only in their shoes. But I think it's like you're so afraid and you don't want to fight. You just want to live your life. And if you're a good kid, I guess bullies, that's what they zone in on. And you just get beatings. And it was all the time. It was by, like with me, it was with boys and girls. And it was something, I don't know. It's just something, I can't say how I got through it. And just to see more and more of those videos on YouTube where the kids are really young, I get so blown away. I think the one that really got a hold of me was Amanda Todd. I don't know if you heard that one.
No.
And it was one of the recent ones that just happened, I think, I don't know, it was like a month ago or something, and there's a big Facebook page. And the thing that gets to me, it's not the fact that the girl took her life, it was the fact is the horrible comments that are put on the page. And, you know, it was all these things. I was like, I don't know how people can be so negative. A girl took her life with the whole situation of being bullied. And we can't, you know, I mean, kids are kids. You know, they're going to go on the internet. It's just that somehow we have to say, it's like, okay, to, like, walk away. And it's very hard because they're going to think about that because even as adults, there's adults that are bullies. So it's kind of like, but, you know, we have minds as adults. We walk away, okay, whatever. But, you know, kids don't think like that because their minds are not fully developed. So, I mean, what else could we do? Maybe to make a film and bring more awareness, maybe it will show kids, you know, to take your life is not the answer. And I hope we can get across, you know, and, I mean, it's something to become an advocate and maybe talk to more and more actors, filmmakers and stuff. And I'm just hoping to bring more awareness to the film. And right now I can't really talk about anything about it. It's just a little bit of a promotional for the Bullied the movie. And that's what, it's actually on my Facebook page. And I actually have, I think, a caller on the ear. Let me bring this person in. Give me one moment, Tommy. Tommy, all don't right. You hang up. You better stay on. I've been waiting for you to be on my show for a long time.
Okay.
Hello, caller, you're on the air? Hello? Huh. Oh, well, I guess they're not there. They were holding. All right. I'm also going to open up the chat. So if anybody's listening to the show, you know, you can either call in at 347-989-1473, 877-907-7217. And please do remember, do not talk about sexual content, politics, or anything. This is about inspiration and, you know, helping others. And if anybody has a dream, you know, they're welcome to talk about it. And I opened up the chat room, so if people want to come in and chat, listen, you'll feel free. So it looks like, Tommy, I'm going to have a really, really interesting show. You're here, and I was like, maybe I can talk a little bit about you to inspire people. Now, in your life, growing up as a kid, I mean, we can get into the acting stuff afterwards, but did you have anything where, you know, like, did you have any bullies growing up? Or do you know anybody? I mean, do you have any experience with this?
Well, it's kind of where I was from, is Southern California. So we grew up, all we had to do is go to the beach, ride horses on San Gabriel Riverbed, or we go up to the mountains and ski. And I never had very much money, so it wasn't like I was rich. But we could just, all you had to do was get good grades and try to look good for the girls. And the girl probably, you know, looked good for the boys. But it was just, that was like your job. So nothing was like serious. And I kept getting ready for college. Then I got out of high school. I went and joined the Marine Corps. So that kind of changed. But as far as bullies, I just don't remember any. And I know there was one kid now that I think about it. And his name was, I forget what his name was, but they said he's Jewish. I said, well, you know, I didn't understand. What difference would that make? Who cares? Out of all of us in the class, there's one kid that, you know, didn't understand that one. Then, you know, my mom just wouldn't put up with any of that. She didn't stop and waste time on. She just move on. So the only kid I remember being bullied was that one kid. I still don't understand why anybody would do that. I just don't understand it.
Yeah, I could never sin it because I didn't, you know, as a kid, didn't do anything wrong, and you're getting picked on more and more, and the more you try to, like, not fight, you know, I can remember the bullies, and I don't want to mention any names, and it's kind of like, I look back at it now when I'm going, oh, my God, I really could have stood up to them, but I guess if it's more than, you know, one girl or one boy, because it was boys, too, and girls are horrible, just absolutely horrible, and just looking back, and I was like, now I was like, looking at it back, and now I was like, oh, flip them over my shoulder or something, even though, you know,
yeah.
Even though you don't want to fight, I mean, learning about martial arts and self-defense, and what I try to talk about is maybe parents, like, you know, not to get revenge for their children, and a lot of people, a lot of martial artists, you know, they talk, and the dojos and stuff, and it's even many different teachers, you know, talk about self-defense, and maybe it's something where parents can get them into a self-defense class, and it's only not for revenge, but to protect themselves, you know, I mean, that's the way I think. I mean, that's what I think I would do if I had kids. I would take them to a self-defense class, or, I mean, but see, I'm lucky. I'm in that type of atmosphere, like people that I know, the stunt guys, most of them know how to fight, and, you know, people like yourselves where you take all these rumble tumbles and all these things like that, but people that just have ordinary lives, they might not understand to do things like that, and children are going to suffer, and it's not really, you can't blame the parents, because people, the thing I can't understand is, like, when people say it's the parents' fault, and it's not, and I don't know. It looks like there's another caller on the air. Just give me one moment, Tommy.
All right.
Hello, caller. You're on the air. Hello. Are you there?
Hello.
Hi. Who's this?
It's Ashley. I was just listening to the rest of it and then connected me.
Oh, okay. Are you supposed to be doing your homework, girl?
I am, but I thought I should listen, you know?
Okay. I'm sorry. I've got you on here. Do you want me to put you on hold so you can listen? Because you can go on the internet too. If you go, you know, you can do that without going on the phone. You can go onto the internet. If you friend me, my page, you can go onto the internet. I'll friend you right now. And you can. Do you have the internet off right now?
Yeah, I have my computer on the floor. I'll go on.
Because if you want to do that, if you friend me, or I think if you go to the page, Cece's page, I don't know if you have as a friend, I think I posted on there, but if you friend me, I'll friend you and you'll find the link and you'll be able to bring it up on the internet without using your cell phone.
Oh, okay, cool.
Okay?
All right.
You can call back anytime, hon.
All right, cool.
All right, thanks for being on the show again. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, on a good turn of events, Tommy, you know, I didn't expect you to call in, so I want to know, since I have you on the show now, I am going to ask you questions.
Anything.
I've got you in my clutches, Tommy. You're not going anywhere, because I know you have a very busy schedule. I really want to know about your, you know, more about what you've done, more stunts and such, and, you know, how did you get into acting? I mean, tell me the whole shabam, things you've done, who you've worked with. How did you get into acting and stunts? Was this what you've always wanted to do?
Yeah, it's kind of. I grew up and I had cousins that were in entertainment, and my aunts were singers, so they were kind of entertainment pretty close. When I joined the Marine Corps, when I got back from Vietnam, they put me at Camp Pendleton Rodeo Grounds. I run that rodeo ground. That was my job in the Marine Corps for almost 3 years. And then I got to meet people and see people in the industry with horses and entertainment. And it kind of martial arts, horses, and stunts are kind of the same. If you teach people a lot of them have done one or the other. And it's just like a big family. So the first job I worked on was with Steve McQueen in a movie called The Honkers. Yeah.
The Honkers?
And we did that in Prescott. We did that in Prescott. And I rode saddlebronc, bulls, and bareback, plus a bulldog. And people say, well, why didn't you do this or that? Because I looked like a little kid. So I was 28 years old. People asked me for my ID because I looked so, like a kid. And so I just kind of laid back and, you know, worked with Steve McQueen. Then the next movie I worked with Cliff Robertson. And so I got in 3 movies real quick, but just doing rodeos. I still looked like a baby, so I didn't really fit in. Then I got a character look more. I was a professional boxer. I broke my nose and got a little more character look there, and then people just began being interested.
Oh, my gosh. So,
hey, I tell you.
What happened? Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Tommy.
There's one story I just thought about how I got aware of bullying. We did this movie called Jonah Hex with Josh Brolin. If you look, if you watch the movie, there's going to be 6 horse guys. 2 of them are me and my son. So we didn't have anything to do in between. So we're sitting there, and the one of the guys talked about bullies, and I didn't realize how many people, you know, how big of a problem it was. So we all figured out that most of the bullies are like somebody that's a year or two older that has flunked, and they have a, you know, part-time job, even a dishwasher, whatever, just so they have money and they have a car. And we figured that's kind of what a lot of the bullying comes from. And then I worked on a movie called The Greening of Whitney Brown with a little girl named Sammy Ann Ratty. And she's really involved in it. And I didn't realize how much problem there was until I, you know, I talked to her. But she's really a big inspiration.
And so did she have her own experience being bullied? I mean, is it something, I mean, how did she, did you become involved in anything with it?
Well, kind of. She didn't say she was a victim, but she's aware of it. She's seen it. And if you look at this movie, she looks like a little Lindsay Lohan, you know, that kind of freckle look, that kind of big smile that when she did a kid. This is like Sammy's the same way. And so, you know, just listening to her, it's kind of, you know, got me aware of what's going on.
And I just,
that was a movie about a horse. We used them, gypsies. And
it's
just a family movie.
I know what you're talking about, because the film that we're doing in, I know, like, you're a busy guy, we're supposed to be filming with gypsies for our film Falk here. And I didn't know what gypsies horses were until they showed us, and I was like, oh, my God, they're big.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they are. If you see this movie, it's called The Greening of Whitney Brown. Now, I'm not promoting it because I was on it, but it's a family story. Chris Christopherson, Brooke Shields, Sammy is on there, and the horses do everything. And the girl, you know, goes from the country to the town, and the horses fall on her. It's just a great movie for a family movie. But I don't know why we can't get the funding to make more of those movies, because I really enjoy them. But,
well, you know something, I think it's the people, you know what I'm saying? It's like the people that I work with, like my brother, Ahor, I don't know if you've seen pictures of him on my page. He's a big guy. He's got a tattoo on his face. He's got the blonde braids. And that's what he wants to bring.
He's a big black guy, right?
Yeah, he is. He's actually Maori, and it's like Polynesian. More Apache Indian. It's like, so I try to explain to people, because I try to get things right, because I've got confused and stuff myself, and a lot of people, I tell them, call him Z, because his name is Ahura Zakor Deliza. And the thing is, with what you're thinking too, right? You know, about the type of films like that. And the film we're doing, the problem is I don't know, it's like sometimes it's like it seems with SAG there's more paperwork or something. I don't know the thing, because everybody I work with is independent films. And I think maybe, like right now, I'm not going SAG. I'm waiting till after I work with Jackie. So it's like I'm going to wait till then and see, because for what I'm able to do, I believe to each them, whatever works for someone. That's what I tell people. It's like whatever works for somebody, do what works for you. this non-union, and it seems like that's what got me noticed, because it's given me freedom to do more of what I want, and that seems to be what works for me. I can't tell people if to go to SAG or not to go to SAG. It's everybody's, you know, whatever their choice is. But my whole point is, like, trying to find people like yourself, Tommy, you know, that wants to do those type of things. Because what I had a fight over for a couple of years is I didn't want the hooker roles and doing this the sex roles and all these things. And people like, well, read for this. And when I went, I was like, no, this is not what I want to read for. Like all those things, they wanted me to just take my clothes off. And that's not what I wanted to do. I wanted to do, you know, something to do a little bit with martial arts, like a little bit of martial arts experience and do a little bit of my own stunts. I'm not a stunt person per se. I'm just an actress that likes to do some of her own stunts. And people are like, well, how do you define yourself? And I guess I'm just lucky enough to be able to network and talk with people like yourself, many different people, because it's the stuff that I love growing up. So I have respect for people like you, Tommy. It's like, I love your work because I know it's very hard work. And a lot of people say, oh, action films, they're crap. And I was like, you know, people don't understand what you have to do in those type of films. And your body must take a beating, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get your job is to hit the ground. And, you know, not put your hands down.
I mean, if you can tell me, you don't have to, but... Did you ever have any broken bones or sprains or anything?
I don't know. I always think I'm lucky I didn't have any. And then I look at my hand.
Oh, good.
I got one finger that was chopped off with a sword in Japan.
Oh.
And I've got, my fingers are crooked, so I can't hit the keyboard. So sometimes I type, and it looks like I don't know how to spell very well. But if I type, my fingers are crooked, I go back to the spell checker and try to fix that up. Well, I have to go over four times. I just said, all right, the people know me, know my fingers are crooked, I'm doing as good as I can. So, you know, and I dislocated my left shoulder twice. And, my nose took the worst. If you look at my headshots in the 90s, I got a nice little good character look. But I had my nose straightened and rebuilt. Don't ask me why. But I did. And now my skull is broken the other way. It's still, you know, still just like it was. So, yeah, I broke a few. But mostly it's just owies and boo-boos. I put a piece of tape on it and go on.
Now, did you have a favorite film that you work with? Do you, is there people that you actually enjoyed working with? I mean, anything in particular?
Yeah, my goal is to make sure that all of the people now know of all of the nice people, not the bad people, but the nice actors you work with. Like I work with Matthew Modine.
I know who he is. If you mention, I betcha, I know. Okay, I think I know who he is. He's also, I know it's another film. I see his face. He was in another film besides Full Metal Jacket. I know if you say it, I'd be like, yeah. I should look up his IMDb page.
Yeah,
I should pull it up.
I mean, he's one of the top actors. But he's a super nice guy. And we were just doing a little fight, and he was worried about banging me up against the clock. I said, you know what? Just, you know, we got to, if you don't sell us and you have a punch that misses and the camera picks it up, it'll make both of us look bad. So he was real careful, and we did this fight in there. But another one is Hulk Hogan. Super nice guy.
Oh, yeah,
I did a bunch
that.
Of fights with him.
Oh.
Yeah. When,
how did you fight with him?
Yeah.
What was it?
The first time I had to fight him in a movie, I said, because you remember, okay, he's the wrestler, he's tough, but he's still the million-dollar guy, you know, he's making a big paycheck. So I said, can I try a little shot to make sure it's okay, not too hard? And he said, sure, go ahead. And I did a nice little one, tapped him, and I said, is that good? Said, yeah, brother. So
yeah,
we just got that.
Oh my god, that's so awesome. Did you ever get to work with like The Rock or anything? Because that's the guy I work with on set. There's a couple people I was lucky enough. Did you ever work with The Rock?
Nah, I keep dismissing. I put my stuff
really?
In. They did the one up there by you that he did that I was up for. I forget what one it was up there.
Was it the
but
game plan?
I see him at the.
Was it the game plan, that one there?
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, that's the one that I was in, and I had a sort of a weird conversation with them because, you know, it was my first time I worked on, like, any set. So I was in Gillette Stadium, and I was all excited, and it was, I think, Boston Cassidy and Jody Purdy, who's wicked awesome. She helps cast these films. So, you know, it was my first time, and I was a spaz. I was like, you know, I'm an extreme fan. I'm like, it's The Rock. I'm like, oh, I found out his name, and I was like, oh, Joe, I want to hug you, Joe. And I kept screaming and stuff, and I could stay in character, you know, a woman football player. So it worked out well, and people like saying to me all day long, this girl's nuts, right? So we got fed really well on that set, and the stuff in Gillette Stadium is really, really big. So I was like, I'm going to run up and get some food. And everybody was like, Shelly, get me some food. So I was like, I ran all the way up the steps to the break place. I'm bringing muffins and water and stuff. And so I had a muffin in my hand. I'm walking down the stairs, and they're like yelling, they're like, hey, crazy to the girl. The Rock was right near your seat. And I was like, what? And they were like, it was all quiet. The Rock's on the field, and I was like, ah, Joe, I want to hug you, Joe. The Rock looks up, and I think they caught this in the trailer, and it was like he's looking up in the stadium. He's like, hey, and I'm like, I love you, and he's like, put the phone up. Be good, right? So I got so excited, I squished the muffin. It got decapitated. The top part of the muffin shot up in the air. I don't know where it went. So I'm like, I love you, and just staying in character, and people like were hysterics. And after that, people kept following me around the stadium. They're like, this girl's got some energy. And I got into another part behind the Rock. I mean, you couldn't see. I knew exactly where I was, and it was just one of those things I will never forget. But I know you got to be a good person working on set. It was my first time, and I was like, you know, you're going to be less crazy than that, Shelly. But it's something, given an opportunity, that not a lot of people do get to do these things. So it's kind of like great when I sit and talk with, you know, someone like yourself that has been in the industry a lot longer than me. It's like I feel like I can relate because you do the stuff that I'm trying to get more and more into, and I feel more normal because it just seems normal to me to do these things than not to do these things. So when I get to talk to someone like you, Tommy, I feel normal.
All right. You seem normal to me.
Yeah. I'm just very energetic, and, you know, I just hope to see more of your work. I hope that, you know, is there something else? I mean, you probably have an IMDb page, right?
Yeah, I don't ever look at it. So last time I looked at it, there was like 30 errors, and I could add an extra 35 movies. But when you're stuntman, you don't always get credit. So it'll say uncredited, even though, you know, we work for Screen Actors Guild, and we have the same contract as the actors. We don't have the 50 and under rules. So sometimes we don't get credited. Well, if you're an actor and the movie that you're on has 50 or more characters in the acting, then they don't have to put all the actors they can put on. But if they have under 50 actors, they have to give all 50 actors credit. You know, the deal, you did, whatever it was, housekeeper, cook, whatever you do has to be on there. Or you can get a fine. You know, Screen Actors Guild will get you like $2,500 if you don't get the credit, if you're 50 and under. But stuntmen don't have that rule. There's some show that I played three different parts on, and it has me as uncredited. So, yeah, we have IMDb, and it's pretty accurate. It's pretty good. I don't even check my pictures. My wife puts them on. So I think there's pictures on there of High Falls, early stuff. I think I got some rodeo stuff, horse stuff on there.
Wow. I saw the horse. Okay, now when you were saying you did a couple things in The Walking Dead, right? It's something where, you know, besides the shoot-up where you got all shot up in the premiere, you did I was like, you know, I saw, were you driving the car? Did you flip the car over? What happened in that scene? I know you got all shot. It's like, did you do that?
Yeah, the car stuff, there were three of us in there. And when
you flipped
rolled,
the car over?
Yeah.
And you were inside the car?
Yeah. And
how'd that feel?
We put, we don't do it, effects, but squibs all over it. So we step out, and there was squibs all over. I had four on me, one on the chest, on the right side, one on the stomach on the right side, one on the left side, and one on my chest on the left side. So each time I got shot, I had to take those shots with my body.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Frank Darabont was the director, which, you know, he's done tons of stuff. The Shawshank Redemption. So you're really kind of scared because, you know, this guy's so famous, and he's a director, and he expects it. But gosh darn it, he was just great. You know, he was, and after it was over. And the horror stuff that we did was downtown Atlanta. That was really spooky because, you know, it was our horse. We didn't want to hurt him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, you know, serious. But this horse just laid down, and I was on him, and my daughter was on the head of him, was laying him down. My son had to get off of there because he doubles the lead actor. So it's kind of like a family deal there. It's kind of neat. But the horse was just laying there, groaning. I said, oh, no, I'm sorry. Am I hurting you? I looked, he looked there and said, get a suntan. And we had a pad for him to lay down on. We laid down. I said, gee, well, he had an easier time than we did. But then I saw somebody made a comment. I wish they hadn't have done it. So that horse, no. If you were there, you'd be so proud of where that horse laid down. We had the Million Society there. The horse just went down. He started to get back up. We just kind of pushed him down. When they edited it, it was like the cannibals, the zombies were jumping all over him and everything. Well, that was later on the dummy horse. We just laid the horse down and everything went smooth.
Yeah, I don't think people understand when they're there because I this is the first time I'm working with horses myself, and we have people, you know, that taking care of horses their whole life, and I'm taking horseback riding lessons, and, you know, just to understand what goes into it, and the horse is trained to do that. I've seen it in your picture, the horse is laying down. They're trained to do that, and I think people that don't know anything about it, and it's like, oh, this is horrible, but no, it's a trained thing. Horses, you can teach them to bow, you know, to go up in the air and stuff, and I've seen this firsthand. So I do know that that's a real thing, you know, hurting the horse. I mean, just like with any animals, you can train them. You can train cats, dogs, ferrets, you name it. You can train them to do things. So I think when people say things, they just assume. And unless you put a description, and even if you put a description on your page, sometimes the art of communication gets lost in the internet.
Sure.
No matter how best you can write, and it's like, well, no, we were there. So it's kind of like, looking at it, it looked like there were thousands of zombies eating that horse. Like, that must have been so cool.
Well, yeah, it kind of was. But it was kind of spooky because we come back to the dummy, so we had to take our positions where we were when they laid the real horse down, and they say, okay, background action. So the background comes running and starts jumping all of us and crushing us down there, and it was, oh, man, ain't no air. Don't you know how hot it is? And they all wanted to get on camera, you know. It was really funny because it was actually got pretty dangerous when everybody piling on top of you.
Mm. Yeah, and I think what it is, it's like what people don't understand sometimes, like extras, because I've seen it, it's like you're kind of almost like furniture, so it's kind of like, you know what I'm saying, you're trying to do the best you can, but if there's that many people, I think when you finally see it, you have to put it on pause like every single second to try to find yourself. But the experience itself, what people should take in it, you got to work on the Walking Dead as a zombie. You know, like George Romero as a zombie. I mean, how cool is that? I mean, I was able to stop to watch the shows, and I was like, you know, the characters are growing. I'm starting to, like, love some of the characters and just actually knowing someone that worked on the show. I'm talking to someone that worked on the show. I'm all excited. I was like, the gut and the gore, and, you know, I even played a zombie for a thing, we haven't shown it yet. I think it's called Inari, and I can show the trailer, and you can watch it later on, but for doing the zombie makeup for Independent, it's just going through all this, the latex, you know, sticking into forehead, and the blood, and then it's like, there's this stuff, right? Now, you know, I mean, I know and you know that the stuff that you see that the zombies eat, it's all made out of food. It's edible, right? Well,
yeah, I almost, it's like gummy bears.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, the gook, right? There's this stuff that looks like snot, or it's like white and dripping and stuff, right? It's made out of something like, I think a husk or something, and it's something like Metamucil or something to give it to effect. So they had it on me. They put it on my hair. It went in my ear, right? And the smell, you can tell it was good because there's this guy that was in front of me. He had a fake eyeball hanging out, and I was in front of it. It went into my ear, and I went, and I almost threw up on the actor. And it's like, even though I knew it was food and you could eat it, just that feeling of that gel going down in my ear, I was like, I almost hurled right in front of the actor. Like, oh, my God, his name is Dan, right? Dan, like, I was going like that. He's, like, laughing. I was like, oh, I was like, get it out. It sucked because it wasn't liquid, but it wasn't hard. I'm like, it's in my ear, and I'm trying to get it out. And I'm just like, it's just dripping everywhere, and they got to keep drowning us in blood. And that's just an indie film. Now, I can imagine on a big set, you guys must have had tons of, like, blood. Did you get to spit out blood or anything like that?
Yeah, well, the hard part was, I think, let's see, I think they had like 700 people showing up for zombies. So they had to keep all the background kind of like an assembly line. I don't know how they did that much makeup. And so we come over, and they have to put us in front of the line and put our stuff on us, and we'd have to go back and stay in our dressing rooms because it was, you know, it was hot and we didn't want anything to get out of shape. So, yeah, it was the extras in that were, I don't know how they did it. Oh, yeah, they had to go to zombie school. I forgot.
Really?
You went down.
Are you serious?
Yeah, you go downstairs where the production office is, and you look, as you go by it, there's a school, a big room, and you see people in there like they're dancing or something. And the sign says, zombie school.
Oh my god, that's gonna be awesome, zombie school. I'm like, I can do an awesome zombie noise, and it's like they thought when we were doing, because we were filming out of the basement, right? And I was doing, they're like, what is that? And then special effects, and it was actually me, and they're like, man, I can't scream like a victim. I can't play a victim, but I play a good zombie because my screaming is horrible. But I'm like, I can go. And that's my zombie noise. So I was like, I know how to play zombie good. I can't play a victim. I'm just horrible playing a victim.
Yeah. I think almost all the movies, in fact, the last 10 years, all the movies, they don't even trim my hair. They keep the same hair, same mustache. This thing on the chin, which I never grown a beard, this thing on the chin. But for 10 years, I go in and the hair makes me look, all right, yeah, go on, yeah, you're great. Or they put a little grease in there or something. They keep the same. Nobody wants to cut it. Oh, except for on The Dark Knight. When we did that up in Chicago, they took me in because I played the hitman that killed whoever I killed, the mayor or something. Then the next scene was at a funeral. And if you look, me and my son are leading. In fact, if you look at The Dark Knight, we got a Screen Actors Guild for that award. You see, I come out to shoot the guy, and my son is playing a cop, and he arrests me. He throws me on the ground, handcuffs me. The next scene, if you look at the two lead horses on the funeral, it's me and my son. So they cut the little chin thing off there, that little whiskers, and cut my hair a little shorter, and we played the cop.
So they get to recycle you over and over again. I guess that's good, right?
Sure, yeah. It's great. Except some of my friends have a, like you call it, indie, like nondescript. So they can fill in FBI, sheriff. I don't like to play a bad guy. It don't matter how short you cut my hair, I still look like a bad guy.
Well, you're a big guy. Yeah, I mean, you know what? It's like when people say certain things, right, about being stuck in roles, and I know, like, maybe after so many years, maybe it does get a little frustrating, but it's like, you know, if you really think about it, you know how, like, people, they do a show or a film, and you have people, like, become your fans, and it's like, people say, well, I'm so sick of it. It's that character that made you, that people are going to love you and remember you for the rest of their life, and they're probably going to watch that stuff and show it to their kids. You know what I'm saying?
Sure,
it's something
yeah.
that's like, you're like immortalized for life. People love you, and it's something that's going to pass on to their kids. And I think that's special, and people say, I just get sick of doing it. It's like, well, maybe you have to stop doing it. But when you're recognized, and you gave that love to a character for so long, and then people come up to like, that was so awesome. You made people happy. You know what I'm saying? They loved what you did. And I was like, that's what I wish I could do. I wish I could do a character, make people happy. They remember it, brings them that much joy. That means you did something good, and people will remember you for it. So maybe there's something, maybe someday you'll find something where you're just going to be really, you should be a main lead character by now. I mean, all the stuff that you've done, doing all your stunts and stuff, you should be on some TV show. You should be one of the leads on The Walking Dead, man. You should be one of the leads. Because seriously, yeah. I'm looking at those, I was like, man, you could kick butt. Look, you've got character. Why don't they cast you as one of the leads for a couple of shows? You could do it. I bet you could.
Yeah. Yeah, it's yeah. like, you know, you mentioned Jackie Chan and Chuck Norris. They're always going to play kind of the same. You know, Jackie Chan got the good sense of humor and a great smile. You know, he could just stop
yeah.
smile and everybody say, yeah, that's great. And Chuck Norris, I've seen a movie where he's kind of the bad guy, and he did a real good job. But still, in the end, you know, hey, that's Chuck Norris. That's Jackie Chan. This is what they're going to do. We expect it, and we know the way they really are in real life, and it just worked out great for them.
Yeah. And it's funny because, you know what's really funny? It's like you love Chuck Norris, but the thing is, if you really think about it, you know how they have all the Chuck Norris jokes, right? And I always
yeah.
come back because it's like I'm into all the Asian martial arts and I see the great films overseas, the subtitles and stuff, and I love it. And I go, all the Chuck Norris jokes. There was one that I saw about Bruce Lee, and it topped all the Chuck Norris jokes because, you know, that Bruce Lee trained Chuck Norris, and he goes, well, I talked one over Chuck Norris. I actually beat him in a film and killed him. And it was like, what can you say to that? It's like, oh. You know,
yeah.
because it's like, it's really true. A lot of people learn from Bruce Lee, and then they pass it on. And a lot of people that they don't realize, and I've been trying to study more and more about the Asian culture and the martial arts, what I found out is Bruce Lee's teacher, Ip Man, which was played by Donnie Yen, but it's really Ip Man. And
yeah.
Ip Man was trained with a woman named Wing Chun. Wing Chun was a nun. And
oh.
if you really think about it, it's a woman's form, that great of a form. And if you look at things, if you notice, look at Bruce Lee. Now, when he's standing, he's actually, his legs are open. He's not protecting
yeah.
a certain part. That's kind of a woman's form. And it's like, I try to talk to people about this, and some guys get offended. And I says, no, if you look in the history and you look up, Ip Man was Bruce Lee's teacher when he was little. Ip Man learned from Wing Chun, and it was a woman. And people, like, they want to doubt it. It's like, why would that be so bad that it could be a woman's form that Bruce Lee started out in, and he just, you know, branched out into other things, his own things?
Yeah. One thing I have is I have four daughters and a son. So I'm the spokesman for women's rights. I never would say, oh, you're a woman, or the No, you don't do that. I mean, you have to be a lady. You know, let the guy open the door for you.
You're
a woman. You're going to fight. You're going to do whatever. Just, you know, get in there and get it done.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's like, you know, the other thing, too, is, like, I think you understand, like, martial arts and stuff, and it's like, it just seems in my life, right, I don't want to be a man. There's nothing I want to do. I like, you know, I like what you said about the door, you know, but I like gentlemen and stuff like that. But it seems like it does scare guys when they hear about a woman wanting to learn about martial arts, and it's like, I don't know, maybe it's like where I'm from and stuff. And when I'm in the dojo and stuff, it's just very much respect. And I hate fighting more than anything, Tommy. I do not like to fight. Believe it or not, a woman saying this, I don't. I love martial arts. I don't like really so much the competition, but it's the form. People's forms is what I like watching. I like Jackie's forms. I like, you know, Donnie Yen and many others. I like when they're doing the movements and when they put it into, you know, into a film. It's an art form, and that's what I see it as. It's like they're literally putting their bodies, they're not taking their clothes off, they're using their bodies in an art form. It's artistically, and people think it's dumb. It says, no, it's something that's part of someone's culture. And being able to learn that, if you really think about it, people that train in martial arts, they seem to live longer. If you see that, it's like the grandson of Ip Man was working on the set with Donnie Yen when they were doing Ip Man. He's like in his 80s, and he's like moving. And I'm like, man, that's what I want to be like when I'm 80 years old. I don't want to be in a pain,
yeah.
and I want to be just like that. And, you know, that's like people that I look up to. You know, I give so much respect to them because if you really think about it, and I try to talk about it, you know, I trained a year in Tai Chi, and in other cultures, like especially in Asia and China, the elderly are practicing that. They have like, I don't know what you want to call them. You know how, like, playgrounds for children? It's almost like playgrounds for the elderly. And they go there, and they have these things that they get to use. I mean, maybe here they would get destroyed, but I've seen this, and the elderly, they're in the 80s and 100s going out there in the morning and doing Tai Chi, and I'm going, that has to be the secret of living healthy. I think it's movement and taking care of yourself. And I was like, you know, do you know anything about martial arts? Have you trained in anything?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a 5th-degree black belt in Taekwondo.
Well, really?
I got black belt, Hapkido, Aikido, Karate. Yeah, I have and plus I was a professional boxer. I had 35 pro fights. So
yeah.
I've been to Japan and Europe, and I really had a nice life. We go to Japan, we do a pirate show, and I'm the lead pirate. I got my daughter as one of my men. My wife plays my girlfriend, and my little daughter run around doing everything else. So the show is like, it's funny. It was in Sasebo, Japan. And we get to go there and spend the summer just fighting with swords and, you know, breaking glass over my head and signing autographs, taking
pictures.
Man,
that's awesome. Is
yeah,
it in your Facebook page?
I need to get into that. My fingers are just so frustrating. So everybody's telling me you should get on this, you should get on that. My son's got a big thing. My son and daughter are called Equine Extremists on .net, I think. And they got all of their shows that they do live shows, but, you know, we've all worked in movies together. So it's even like my youngest daughter, Kimberly, she got her Screen Actors Guild card when she was 4, I believe, working on a John Goodman movie. And she's 25. So she's the newest member of the Screen Actors Guild.
Wow.
So, yeah, we just really had a nice time.
That's really great. Your whole family, you know what I'm saying? It's like the whole family does that. So that must be great. That must be a great feeling.
Yeah, it is. Because, you know, a lot of parents say, well, the kids, they say, my parents were my best friend. That's kind of good in a way, except for a lot of kids I see that say that means, well, that's how they get away with stuff. You know, and they say, well, my parents. But so we just all hung out together and do whatever we do together. And we swim, ski, scuba dive. When I went to Japan, they said, what would it take to get you over? I said, take my family. So they wrote a show around us that we got to go over there. And it's like, that's who I hang out with, even though if we're older, you know, and I don't have to go out with the guys or anything like that. I just go out with my kids.
That's great. I hope I do get to see your work. Is there anything on Netflix? Because I get Netflix. You know if they say anything on Netflix that I could actually pull up and watch that you've done?
Yeah. We got Miami Vice. Joan Hex. Me and my son were the robbers. We got bags over our head. We're riding horses, 95-degree heat. But Joan Hex.
Where was that at?
Josh Brolin.
Okay, all right. So
it's kind of stupid beginning, but it's based on a cartoon character.
Okay.
Then if you see, like, Dark Knight, Batman, the scene I come out of the
crowd,
I shoot.
No, I was kind of mad at that film.
I only watched it once.
Huh?
I only watched it once.
I'm kind of like, it's just something that, I don't know, I just didn't like who they picked for Catwoman. It kind of made me mad. I just was like, nothing against Anne Hathaway, but I'm sorry, there could have been so many other women I know that could do it. I'm just, you know, I know it's about acting, but, you know, just growing up and seeing things like this, really Anne Hathaway as Catwoman, she looked very stiff to me. It's like,
I didn't see that.
I worked with
Christian Slater and, he's the one that passed away. Gosh darn. He's a big actor.
Heath Ledger?
Away. Yeah, yeah.
Not the recent one?
I haven't seen the
recent one. Oh, okay. I thought that's the one you were talking about. No, I did see that. Where were you in that film? I did see that with Heath Ledger.
When we do the... I played. We had 250 extras, and me, my son, and another stunt person. So on action, the actors come out, and I step out of the crowd, and I shoot. I forget who I kill. I kill somebody. I think it was mayor or somebody. So I was in that scene. And then we were going to the funeral, and they have all of the people following the car and everything. If you look, I'm right in, me and my son are right in the front two horses on the right in that big funeral scene.
Huh. Wow.
They did that in Chicago.
Well, they film a lot, it seems like, the Batman film in Chicago. Like, I think they did that, well, maybe it was in Philly. I think it was the last film. I think there's some, because one of my sisters, Charlie, who actually I'm affiliated with her show for my show, and she actually got to work on the recent Batman film. I'll have to ask her where she was. She plays a cop. I mean, she was a state trooper in real life. And the funny thing is, she was a state trooper for many years, and her husband, too. And the funny thing is, she went to audition. And you know how you're supposed to go to audition, right? You just show up in regular clothes and stuff. And she was really a state trooper. And they go like this. They said to her, we can't see you as a cop. And she goes, really? She came back in, and when they went to see her, she was all dressed with the stuff, her cop uniform, and they're like, oh. And they're like, well, I guess so. And it's like, because you don't expect her to be a cop. And it's like, she's a little bit shorter than me. She's an older woman. But, you know, she looks pretty good for her age and everything. And it's really funny because you just don't expect that. But when she puts it on, she can put it on really well. You know, she can hold her own. And I'm like, it's really great because, you know, I look more for, like, men in the industry, like yourself and Jackie and stuff. I don't really have a lot of women I look up to. It seems like, I don't know, maybe 75% of these stunts, like peep actors that do their own stunts and stuff, I think it seems like it's 75% men and the rest is women. I know it's growing, but just growing up, like people like yourself are the type of people that I looked to, it's always been men. Sounds strange, but it's true.
Yeah. Yeah, they. You know? I've seen some people, actors, they say we insist on doing our own stunts, and they'll cable them up like, this one guy, I better not say who he is. He was a big actor. Yeah, and still in time in jail because of his temper. But they raised him up like 2 feet on cables. And then they dropped him. And he dropped, and he didn't even hit the ground. You know, he just dropped. And they said, cut. So everybody's clapping and cheering. I said, you've got to be kidding me. He dropped with 2 feet and insist on doing your own stunts. No. I tell you who I work with is Danny Trail. You know who he is?
He's a Mexican guy. It sounds familiar.
Everybody said I look like him. Well, I doubled him. And he has the attitude, he says, I won't step off a curb because I know there's somebody out there that can do it better and I don't have to fall down and get hurt. So, I mean, he could, but he just, that's what he likes to do is just, you know, be the mean guy and work in the acting.
I think I know who you're talking about. He always has a mustache and a beard, too, and he's got dark hair, right? He's the same.
Yeah,
I know who you're talking about. I know he's – I think he's played a bad guy quite a few times, so I think I know exactly who he is. And he does look like you. And that's the funny thing is I thought you were him. When, you know, it's like when at first I think whatever the account is, we friended through each other, and it was like, I thought that was you. I thought you were the same person. And I was like,
a lot of people
no,
do.
It's not him. Yeah. But
yeah, I doubled him on Burn Notice. And, the only thing, I'm about 4 inches taller than him. But everything else matches up pretty good. And he's on Sons of Anarchy now. He has that role that he plays on there, and I've seen him. Gee, my knee. He has the same look, and he's just the same. We always, the bad guy, and he just does a great job. But he's so nice. It's just great to work with somebody like that. But on the other hand, I look like him, and people every time I go there and say, "Oh, you're that guy from Con Air." And I look back, and I think the guy in Con Air was like a rapist or something. The character. No, I never even kissed
terrible.
A girl. I kissed a girl once, and that was an unsolved mystery.
Well, it is funny, though. It's like the people that play the bad guys all the time, they're actually good guys because I worked on a set. And my very first set, I actually worked with I met a couple of guys that worked on The Sopranos, Frank Santarelli, who played the bartender, and John Fiore, who was in the first series. I got to be a female bouncer. My very first role ever, this film, I don't think is ever going to get shown. I wish it would. And there I am with Boston comedian Lenny Clark on the left side of me. I've got a picture of it on my, he's like bending down though, but he's on my left side. I'm in the middle. John Fiore is on my right. And I'm like, man, and they were really, they had a lot of work and they were well known at the time. I think they still are, but it's like, you know, at the time The Sopranos were still playing, I was like, man, this is awesome. And I'm like, I'm right there with the lead actress and I'm a female bounce and stuff. Film never got shown. And I was like, man, but at least they have a picture of it.
Yeah. That's a problem that I usually don't take pictures now. I wish I took more, but people flip them back to me and send them to me. So,
yeah.
I get some I'm losing, like Charlie's Angels when it came. They made a series out recently. We did it in Miami, and Drew Barrymore was the producer. So they had a lot of money, and everything was really good. But the story, what they got in, you know, their production values, the directors and the second unit directors and the DP, you know, all these guys are so great. But they didn't sell the story. That one's gone. But that's what I do. Oh, yeah, I got hit. I flip off the top of the boat, a yacht.
Oh!
And I land on the floor below me. I did a backflip over there. I had to do it 19 times I had to do that take. I got sore, but but I don't know. It's, a lot of times I'll be sitting right there with a top actor, and you know they're just regular guys. They're just some of them don't. Some of them think they're a little special, but I guess that's the way in life, though.
Yeah, I guess I've had great opportunities. It's like some things never get shown, and it seems like. Working on sets, whether it's independent or a big thing, like I got to work on the set of The Woman, remake of The Women, and the funny thing is, you know, I wouldn't have thought it, but the women that I actually worked with, it was Meg Ryan, Annette Bening, Deborah Messing, and Jada Pinkett Smith. And at the time, I had no idea what the scene was or anything like that. And they says you have to wear a certain kind of outfit. Now, I'm very tall, and I have these things called my hooker heels, but I don't play hookers. I mean, it's just that they're very big, and they're big platforms because I can't wear regular heels. I'm not a heel girl. I don't like wearing heels. I'm 5'8". So these things made me over 6 feet tall. I had on a miniskirt. I'll never, ever, ever, ever wear a miniskirt on a set ever, ever, ever again. I felt so uncomfortable, and I'm having it. So my legs stand out. They're, like, very long with these things. So, you know, I'm very tall. And I had this part with the, like, you know, I kept saying to the guy that was in charge of all of his extras, because there was women that were taking a meltdown. It was all women on the set. I says, I will never, ever work with all women ever again on a set like this. I says, that's it. I'd rather go jump off a building or something like that, because women get catty. I was in a holding room. We were downstairs in this dungeon in this club, and I'm going, they were so... Oh, they were just so whiny and stuff. And I was like, why? I mean, I was able to talk to a couple of people, but they were just like moaning. And I said, listen, I said, you want to do anything with me? Throw me over a bar. I'll sign anything. And the guy's like, okay. So it was at the last couple hours of the night, guy grabs me and he like brings me up to the stairs, like, show me what you want to do. I want you to walk around the bar and do this. And I was so nervous and I was hyperventilating. I was like, what do I do? What do I do? I'm saying, Shelly, focus. And it's like, it was like one of the times where I didn't expect this, you know, nothing. It was very new, didn't expect it. And I see them right next to me. Jada's back was turned to me. So what happened? A lamp broke and it was all over the floor. They picked it up as best as they could. And then all of a sudden, I said, Shelly, you have to take your shoes off because, you know, your shoes are going to make too much noise. And I was like, I'm going to cut my feet. And they're like, well, this is not something we have to worry about right now. So the thing is, Jada turned around, and I guess she heard it. And she said to the guy, go get my shoes. And they ran and got my shoes and back, and she turned back around. I wanted to hug her because she stood up to me on set. And I was like, oh, you know, and I'm trying to stay professional, but it was like here I was kind of like a nobody. And she said something for me, and it was just that kindness that Jada did short toward me. She went back to, and I was like, I so wanted to hug her. You know, if I ever meet her in person, I talked to her a little bit on the internet, but now her Facebook page is really big now. So I told her thank you, and it's like she goes, everyone deserves to be treated with respect on set. And I was just like, that's the last time I was able to talk to her, because now everybody's on her page now. And at least I was able to say thank you, because I didn't expect that, and there she was. I was like, oh, my God, and I almost couldn't move to walk around the bar because it just took me by surprise. I never thought anybody with that big of a name stand up for me. And I was like, that's just so cool. And just having these experiences, I know I'm going to get more and more. And I hope I get to work with you on set someday, Tommy. Maybe I'll get up to California someday.
Yeah. That's, you know? I always thought that about Jada. I never met her. I always thought, see, Will, you know, Will Smith is having a little problem. I said, you know what? Instead of doing that, why don't you just let Jada take care of it, because I think that'd be, she has to be a scary, because it seems like Jada runs that family, got the kids there, she stays trim, she stays, in, you know, she watches what she does. So I always thought about it. She must be a great lady.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know her personally. I try to, like, anything with films, I kind of, like, I learned that people's, whatever their personal life, I don't try to think about that. They say that's the best thing to do, and it's like when you work on set, you're being professional, and, you know, I mean, there's some things when I talk about films and how people, you know, with acting and stuff, and I was like, I should have a right to my opinion, but when I was like, no, this has nothing to do with someone personally, it's just stuff that I've seen. Like, I like action stuff, right? So this is the stuff I've grown on, watching, the A-Team, I mean, you name it, and it's G.I. Joe, stuff that I watched. So when I'm sitting here looking where they're casting, you know, especially, like, when they're doing, like, certain films and stuff, and I'm going, they casted that woman for that role? And it's like people, like, say to me, well, you must be jealous and a hater. I go, no. I says, because this is the stuff I grew up watching. It's like, so I didn't get the part. Why didn't they cast a different type of girl for it? And people are like, well, sex sells. And I'm like, well, maybe it does, but it's not going to get the film knows past a certain point. Like, no one sees the point of what I have to say because I'm a woman, and they always say, oh, you must be jealous. They go, what? And I'm like, the only thing I ever would be jealous of anybody is if they work with Jackie Chan. I mean, that's the only thing. I was like, there's nothing in this world. This has been what I've been working on for 10 years. I don't get jealous of nothing except to work with Jackie Chan, because that's the one thing in the world. I was like, every time I see someone with Jackie, I go, oh, I want to work with Jackie Chan. So, nobody, I can't get jealous of anything because the one thing I want is to work with Jackie. So it's kind of like, yeah, okay. You know what I mean? It's like, and there's certain films that I don't want to work on set. You know, I mean, it's certain things like that film I do not like, and I can't wait till they make another Blade film, is the Twilight series. I don't have nothing against the actors, but it's kind of, what happened to vampires? Do you remember how vampires used to be? It's kind of like, what happened to vampires? And then play.
Yeah, like Halloween.
Hey, you know what I'm saying? They're not like, I mean, vampires are supposed to be afraid of the light. And, you know, I mean, maybe it's another generation, but you know Dracula. I mean, come on. I mean, look at Blade. I mean, they had a few vampires. I don't know if you've ever seen that series or not, or the films with Blade with Wesley Snipes. But
no,
seeing,
I've worked with Wesley before, but I didn't see that one.
Oh, okay. What did you work with on? What film did you get to work with Wesley?
Wesley Snipes. Passenger 57.
Oh, really? Is that the airplane film? I know I've seen that.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it was a long time ago. Okay.
Yeah,
I've
that's
seen
right,
that
because
once.
I was working on another one. We was working on two movies. John Goodman, who's the girl on? Officer and a Gentleman. Oh, Deborah Winger. Was working
Deborah
on Deborah
uh-huh.
Winger movie. And then we had to run over and do Passenger 57 with Wesley. And he's like a, you know, great martial artist. And he could really move. And, yeah, so I got to work with him at the same time as we did the Deborah Winger movie.
So have you worked with many martial artists and stunt guys? I mean, what, anybody like Don the Dragon Wilson or James Liu or anything like that? Have you worked with any of those guys?
Yeah, I've worked with them. Cynthia Rothrock, we just did
really?
Yeah, and so when she showed up, I knew that, all right, she's just going to be tough. I know she's not going to take any clothes off. She's just going to be, I don't even know if she's going to have a boyfriend in this. But If she wanted to, she could. But that's not what she does. She fights, you know, and has a nice smile. She doesn't seem like she's aged any.
No,
I
see.
I first worked with her
like
20 years ago. She looked just about the same now. I mean, that's great.
That smosh lasts for you. That's what it does. I'm telling you. Smosh lasts. It's the fountain of youth. And just seeing that, I'm just like, they're actually, she's filming another one called Dracula 2013. And what it is how I found out about it was actually through Dirk Rabe. It's R-A-B, and he's from Germany. He's this martial artist. It's like he looks up to Van Damme, and we talk back and forth on the internet and on Facebook. I'm like, he likes Van Damme, and he does that split like Van Damme does, you know, with the legs out like that. And it's like, see, that's what he does. And he's like, he's coming to America next week. He's working with Cynthia, and it's in Dracula 2013, and Ray Liotta's in it and stuff. And I'm going, is he sleeping with the fishies? Like, I said something on the page or something. I was like, I can't picture Ray Liotta doing a vampire film. It's just like, it's hysterical because he always plays some sort of mobster.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Yeah.
No. So who is one of your favorite people that you actually work with on set?
I don't know. I like so many of them, it's hard to say. I tell you, like, the difference, if you do, like, Hulk Hogan, you'll show up in, if you look at craft services, there'll be cans of tuna, there'll be fruit, and you'll say, where's the chocolate? You know, what are we doing here? There'll be granola bars and stuff, which, and then Hulk will show up with Brutus Beefcake or one of them, or the Undertaker. Now, they'll show up and eat these cans of tuna, you know, and you think, well, craft services, that sure changes when these guys show up. I tell you who the Undertaker I worked with. You know who he is?
Like, yeah, yeah.
6 foot. He's a wrestler. I don't really watch wrestling. But I had to make the chariot and drive him into American Airlines Coliseum in Miami. Thousands of people. Thousands everywhere. And I have to – he gets in a chariot, and I'm leading the horse. And then I realized, you know what? This guy has to be making $1 million tonight. He's got to be worth at least $10 million, and I have him in the back of this chariot leading a horse in, and these thousands of screaming people. If I mess up, man, I don't know what I'd do. But he was so nice, and he has a college education, and he speaks, you know, real well. So you look at him and say, gee, man, he don't look like this, but he is. So, yeah, he's nice.
He's a twin, too. He has a twin.
I don't follow him that much. I just every once in a while I'll see somebody demolishing or whatever they do. But
yeah,
I
mean,
was
I wasn't
too impressed. 6'9", 350 pounds.
He's a big guy.
He's huge.
Yeah, and he I guess there was another one called Kane or something. I forget how it went, but he actually has a twin, and it's just really funny. It's like to have two big guys just like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just like, I mean, I followed wrestling for a while up until the last couple of years because when I moved to Maine here and I haven't gotten TV in a couple of years, so I watch Netflix. And, you know, it's something where.
That's what I do.
You know? Yeah, because it's like, why should I have to pay a lot of money for stuff that I'm not going to watch? Do you know what I'm saying?
And the ads
are
so misleading. You sit there and you say, hey, this guy's talking to me. I need that, whatever it is. Then you listen, you use so many words that it's going to fit everybody watching. Hey, you're young, you're old, you're in the middle. Hey, you're tall, you're slim. Hey, you're heavy, you're light. That's one commercial, and they're hitting everybody on. Everybody says, oh, yeah, we need that stuff. So I don't watch commercials.
Yeah, I don't, you know, there's a lot of stuff on there that on TV where I think the two shows that I actually do watch, but I haven't watched for a while, is Grimm and The Walking Dead. That's the only one. I started watching something else, and it was called, I think, American Gothic or something on Netflix. Like, oh, man, this show's really weird. I didn't even think I was going to – I had no idea, and it was like – I thought it was going to be totally different. It was just really strange, and it's not – because it had all the sex in it. I was like, what the heck? I said, how is this on public TV? And I'm thinking, oh, this must have been on cable, like Showtime or something. And I'm going, no, it's not what I thought it was going to be. Because I hate that. I hate when you find out and it's like, then you go to see, go, no, that's not what I expected at all. And I hate that. No, or it's something where you see a cover to a film, then you go to watch the film and it's like, or the trailer, and all the best parts of the film is in the trailer. It's kind of like,
yeah.
What?
if it's comedy and you look at the trailer and everything they say is funny, you start watching it, and then you realize that's the only stuff in the whole movie, and I already saw it. You get me to watch it. They don't have nothing else funny to say that they held back.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's what they get. They allure the people in with the best, and then you sit there, and I mean, that happened to me a couple times in the movies. That's why I'm like, I've been more and more selective, and especially like with drama films, because if you really think about it, movie tickets, they're like almost $15 nowadays, or I mean a little bit less than that, but why do I want to go sit in the movie theater and cry? I could just cry at home. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, why am I going to pay $15? If I want to see a drama, I'd rather watch it home. I want to go to a movie theater and get excited and be happy and go into a place for a couple hours just to forget everything. If I go and sit and cry, I mean, do people like being tortured and crying? I just don't like that. Maybe that's why I like Jackie so much. I can't, you forget it. If Jackie cries in a film, I just lose it. I just like, I feel like an idiot because I try not to cry in a theater. And I'm just like, just like that. I'm just like, I don't want to cry because it's so embarrassing because I'm the loudest. And I'm like, that sounds so stupid when I cry in a theater. And it's like, forget it. Jackie cries. I lose it. I'm like, Jackie, she's crying. Oh, I just keep crying. The funny thing is, when I felt like in a character in a film, no matter what the film is, it doesn't matter who it is, male, female, like that, and I like that character. If something happens bad to the character in the film, I'll be like, even if they were in it for 15 minutes, I'm like, I sound like a little kid. You know, I just don't want to see characters that I like in a film's eyes. And, you know, people go, well, that's the way it is. I go, no, they shouldn't die. They should be in the rest of the film. I'm sorry, but I like a feel-good film, and, you know, there's enough, like, stuff in the real world about, you know, certain things. If I'm going to watch about death and stuff, let me just watch it at home and cry in peace in my own house, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
You know, it's just something I like. You know, I grew up watching, you know, Twilight Zone, Star Trek, Outer Limits.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
I could go on, you know, those things. If you really think about it, the old black and white Twilight Zone, you can actually see all the actors at their time. Most of them are all passed away now, but they got their spots on Twilight Zone, like William Shatner. He was in a couple of films.
Oh, yeah. We're working with him in February. We're doing a show for him. We do every year.
Really?
He's a character. He's like a character, but he's real, you know, we're real close with him and our family. He likes horses, too. His wife does. My son's probably with him right now out there. Yeah, so he's in Las Vegas for 2 weeks, and he kind of catches up with friends, and you know he goes to national finals out there, rodeo, and you know he performs out there. So it's like a vacation. You get 2 weeks, and everybody comes around, and comes through, you know, Las Vegas that time and says hi. So you know it's a pretty nice time out there. We're doing something in February, I believe, for William Shatner. I believe it's February. And it's at the L.A. Horse Equestrian Center, a big giant horse center there in Los Angeles, Hollywood. And, we're going to be out there doing that. Yeah, it's February. And so we'll run into him there.
You know, it's like, you know how they say things happen for a reason or something? You know what's funny? Seems like when I started taking the horseback riding lessons, that's when I deleted my LinkedIn account. It was just too many accounts. I was on there, and that's when I friended you and Cal. And I was just like, it's kind of funny. It's like I started, I think, taking horseback riding lessons when we friended each other. And it's like, you're working with horses, and now you're talking about gypsy horses, and it's just a weird coincidence because that's the type of horses we're going to have in the film. And I posted on it, you know, about things we're doing. And I go, that's just really strange that you're sitting there talking about horses, and it's like you just happen to come on, and I'm going, wow, this is you know, those weird kind of cool things in the universe, and that's one of those things. So I'll never be able to forget you, Tommy, that's for sure.
Well, that's good. Yeah, my son uses the same name now. Usually it's Tommy Turvey, but now he uses Tommy Mac Turvey, which Mac's just my middle name, and it's his too. So you pull out Tommy Mac Turvey, and you either get him or me, and there's a ton of stuff on horses and IMDb, and it's really pretty neat. And I don't care. You know, I don't care that we get mixed up. Don't bother me. So it's just the fact I'm happy that, you know, my kids, we can do the same thing. But, like, we go on Larry the Cable Guy. He's a nice guy. He's great. Super nice. He just sent me
stuff. Who's a nice
guy?
What did you say? Whose name?
Larry the Cable Guy.
Oh, okay.
You know,
I know who you're talking about. Yeah, okay. I know who you're talking about. Okay. Yeah.
Well, see, first you think about him, he's a comedian. You know, he's a country hillbilly comedian. I've worked with him before. In Chicago, we played polo players. And we worked with him. He has his own jet. And he has his own $2 million RV that he travels in. He's not so small of a comedian that you would think because he has, you know, he's a multimillionaire. And he sent me some stuff the other day for this little girl that we're having a little benefit for. And he sent me the stuff that I could give to her. So, you know, and he answers. Whenever I say something, he answers me. I don't know how he could pick up all of the people he knows. Why could he pick up something that I send? I don't know, a request or say, hello, I'm sending a picture or something, you know. He's just a super nice guy.
That's really cool hearing that. You know, it's really good when you say things like that because, you know, when you go out on the internet and people that don't work in the entertainment business at all, they think everybody in Hollywood, anybody, anywhere that works in films, we're all high and mighty or something like that. And, I haven't worked in as long as you and stuff, and it's like, I think that we're all self-centered and that we have no lives or something. But it's a career, it's a job. And then when you're talking about, you know, the actors, it's really good to hear these things about the actors and how they really are because people don't realize that. They think people that do make money from acting, they're, you know, maybe they're not down to earth. It's like all it is money. It doesn't mean that represents the person, you know, and I think that's why I've been connecting more and more with more people in the stunt field and people that have been, you know, like people like James Wu and Dong the Dragon Wilson and yourself and many other people is because I just talk. I mean, this is just how I am, and it feels normal to have that connection and that love for martial arts and understanding, and I have so much respect to you guys because being able to sit there that I feel honored that you called it on my show. I'm like, wow, Tommy's here talking to me on my show, and I feel, like, blessed and honored that people keep calling on my show because it's like it just seems like I struggled so hard for so long, and it's been going on for 10 years, and when I first got into acting, it was so hard, and people thought I was not normal. It made me leave Boston, and I left everything behind. It was horrible, and it was just not normal, and doing, you know, wanting to do what you do on set, you know, just to fight or do stunts and stuff like that. Any guy, it seemed like I was around, I would get into a fight, and they're like, well, that's not normal. And I'm like, why? I don't want to fight you. It's an art film on screen. It's like, here I am, many years later, I'm sitting and talking with people like yourself that does it, and it's just like, it blows my mind that here I am, my life is different now. So it just, I feel honored to have someone like yourself on my show, and I just feel blessed, and I want to say thank you so much for calling in and, you know, touching my Facebook page every now and then, just dropping. I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart, Tommy.
Well, one thing I noticed when I first started seeing you on the internet, I don't do much, but you always, like, you're making it, I'm sorry, I'll do this, I want to do this, I'm sorry. No, you don't. You're not sorry. You have your dreams. You have your goals. You know, you're not hurting anybody. Just, you know, take them. Do them. Don't let anybody bully you and tell you can't do them. That would make me mad if somebody's bullying and tell somebody, you can't do that. Well, sure you can. You can try and find a way to get around it, but you don't have to make excuses. Just do what you're going to do, you know, and just be nice. That's all you can do.
Yeah, I try. It's really hard. It's like, now it's like I'm starting to get fans, and I'm just like, I'm just like people coming on my Facebook page, and it's like people in different countries, and I'm just like, when people are like, wow, this and that, Shelly, I'm going, I'm not used to that. People are leaving me comments, and I'm like, you know, I'm very talkative, but now it's like getting all these good things. I'm like, I'm almost don't know what to say, and, you know, my teacher, my brother's like, just be grateful and say thank you, and I'm like, thank you, because I don't know what else to say, you know, and yeah. It's a nice feeling that things are starting to happen for me, and I just wouldn't want to trade my life now for anybody else, and it just,
there you go,
comments,
yeah.
You know, I just can't, but, I just can't picture myself being any other way. This just feels normal to me, and I just feel so happy to be able to get up and do the things that I do.
There you go. That's the way to be.
Yeah. So are you filming tomorrow? You got any plans for tomorrow?
No. Tomorrow,
please?
Monday. I have to check my calendar. I'm doing something on the 8th. No, I'm not doing anything. No, I'm not doing anything now. Just hanging around.
Did you get to catch up on sleep, workout? What are you doing when you're not filming?
I want to catch up. I was going to test my 6-degree black belt this year. I said, okay, I'm going to stretch out. But then I go to the martial arts school. There's not any hardcore ones around me. They're just, you know, kids babysitting. And in the evening, they have 3 or 4 adults and teenagers. There wasn't anybody hardcore. So I don't train a lot of martial arts now because the price of gas and traffic to get over to a decent dojo, you know, you can't really do it. So what do I do? Oh, yeah. I've got my baby colt, that Palomino colt that I have, too.
Aw, you got a picture of that, right?
Yeah, yeah. I was sitting in the back of my horse trailer reading the magazine, and it was a Playboy. I mean, my whole porn collection is 3 Playboy magazines from the 90s. I think one of them from the 80s, and I don't even know where they are. So I just happened to get this picture, and I opened my horse trailer. I sat in there. The colt's looking over my shoulder like he's reading it. And I said, this is kind of stupid. And Larry the Cable Guy comes back, yeah, I love it. I said, well, you ain't going nowhere if Larry the Cable Guy likes it. So I put him on there. But, yeah, I'm working with him. I work real hard with him now and my other horses.
So how big is the horse now, the colt? How old is he? Did you say a month?
Right, 2. So he's just big enough to ride. Except, you know, like I weigh 190, which is not real heavy, but it's not real light. So if I put 190 pounds on him and work him too much, it wouldn't be very good on his joints. So, and I don't trick train my horses usually for lay down, and that kids do a lot of stuff. But, yeah, he's like that. Then I've got another horse I got him somebody in Chicago, right? I'm all the way down here to Florida. I gave him $500 for it. He bucks so hard nobody can ride him. Man, that horse, I'm never letting him go. He's such a good horse. And so on my days off, I'll ride down to the lake and jump in the water, and we'll swim. And people see me going down the road. If I got tennis shoes, a Hawaiian flowery shirt, and I ride my horse bareback down the road, I'm going to swimming. So everybody goes by and knows I'm heading to the lake to go swimming. And that's kind of funny, though. Yeah, I'm playing in the water.
Well, how does it feel to ride a horse bareback? I mean, I've only been trying to, like, take lessons with the saddle. Is it different? Do you feel like it's, I don't know how to ask, but how does it feel to ride a horse?
Oh, absolutely. It's absolutely. You've got to have access to a horse, though. I mean, you got to ride with the saddle if you don't. But my kids, I never let them ride with the saddle until they could lope circles, apes, run a horse as far as they can, you know, fast as they can, bareback. So my kids they all had saddles by the time they was 5. And my kids are, you know, on top of the world is what they do. Especially my son, if you look him up on IMDb or Equine Extremist, you'll see him and my daughter. But yeah, if you ride in one, the problem you get, especially with the gypsy, they don't have high withers. I want a little bit of withers on a horse so I could set up and get you just kind of in one with the horse. If you don't have withers, you're going to do a lot of sliding. You're going to do a lot of, you know, out from under yourself. You're going to get to ground a little more. But you absolutely need to do it. You need to do your bareback, released in a slow lope, and if you go from a walk to trot, you know, you get a little off, so you got to go from a walk, take it up to a lope, slow lope, keep your elbows in, keep your chin tucked, and just get one with the horse, and then you'll be riding. And girls always do it better than guys. I don't know why. It's not a myth. It's true. Girls have better balance on a horse. It's great.
Oh, well, after trot, it's canter, right? That's what you learn afterwards? You start cantering? Is that the correct term?
I call it a lope. But, yeah, they can call it a canter.
Okay, because I think that's what I was trying to... Okay, because that's what I was doing. I got to trotting, and then cancer was like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. And that's how I was like, I was all excited. I was like, I'm going to fall off the horse. And like that. I can do this. But I think it's because it's in my family, because my father, he's like in his late 60s, and he rides horses. He has some horses out there in Montana. He lives in Missoula. And
I'm going bull riding it. Missoula, Montana. I got a buckle right here that I was going to wear this week. It's signed up. It's from Missoula, Montana.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Nobody ever knows where Missoula is.
It's a small world. I went up to the M, you know, the mountain where the college is. I walked up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm there. I went to Lola Hot Springs. It's just. I actually got to touch a buffalo. I guess my family has all these horses, and it's like all this land out there. I mean, I don't really know all of them, but I got to visit them, and they have all these horses that I don't know if they're Mustang or not. I mean, I don't know the type of horses. They're really huge, and I went into a field, and they started bucking, and they're very jealous creatures, and it's like I once touched the ponies and the horse was like, hey, pet me, and I'm like, oh my God, they're gonna kick me. I was scared of these big creatures, and it was just the last time I was out there, I think was 95. It was so long ago, and it's just that the price of the tickets to go to Montana, I'm like, are you kidding me? Round trip?
Oh, yeah.
You could go on a vacation. It's like, why is it like that much money? It's in the United States. It's Montana. Just like, you know, I mean, I just don't know. This is maybe if I make some money someday, I'd be able to go out there, but it's kind of like I can't just take off for work because if you go by train, it can be just as expensive, and by the time I get out there, I'd only be able to stay for a couple of days and have to be back to work. So it's like, you know, it's kind of like, well, what do you do? So it's kind of like if there was something where I won tickets to go to Montana, it's a couple of $1,000 almost to go to Montana. I'm like,
yeah, what? And then that you can't fly in a direct flight. You usually have to go to Spokane or Billings.
Yeah, or
Salt Lake
or something.
Then you have to get the little shuttle over there.
Yeah, it's insane. I was like, maybe after I work with Jackie. I was like, you know, Jackie has his own plane, so it's kind of like, hey. But, you know, I mean, I just going to keep chugging along. I mean, I have my own dreams and stuff, and it's like my dream and my goal in my life is to own a house. It's not the fact of being the most expensive house, right? Own a house. Have it paid off, have my own little dojo inside there, have a brand new car. It's not the fact of being the most expensive car, right, but having it paid off and then having the money to make more films. See what I'm saying? Because people, they get into it and they spend so much money and they get into debt, and then sometimes they owe so much taxes. If you're smart enough, you can do the dream for your rest of your life and have a place to live where it's comfortable and you don't owe. So that's the way I look at it. It's like you can make a living. Like, people don't realize in the entertainment business, it's hard. I mean, you just have to find your own little niche, but you can make a living off of it. I mean, it's hard. You know, you just got to make sure you're wise with your money.
Yeah. And, you have to, like me, I don't like to live with neighbors, or I like to live where everybody has animals. But I don't want them barking all night because I'll go over there and see what the problem is. But I always have a saying, I want a place where I can walk around in my underwear. And I don't mean I'm going to do that. I don't walk around in my underwear. Yeah, but if I could and not offend anybody, that's a little privacy, you know? That's what I want.
Yeah. You just want to scratch your butt in peace, I know. I'm like,
you know,
you want to leave the bathroom door open, you go in the bathroom, it's like, no, I get it's like you want to have your own comfortable surroundings where it's like, you know, it's not desolated or something, but it's where you have your own place. And that's what I think everybody wants in life. Do you know what I'm saying? I think that's what everybody's goal, to have their own roof over their heads. I mean, you know, you can live comfortably and happily, not, like I said, not in a mansion, and just be happy, you know, because everybody wants more. But I think basically everybody's dream is to have their own little place, you know, a little bit of transportation and enjoy their life. And I think that's what it is. So I think I will reach that, and I'm going to be happy at things in my life. And once again, you know, I my show, the time's almost stopped. So I just wanted to say, Tommy, thank you so much for calling in.
Wow.
And I hope you can be, because I didn't have the queue up. I didn't have the picture in the queue and stuff. And, you know, you showed, and I was like, I would love to have you on the show again and have, you know, your picture as the guest in there. So, you know, I want you to have
me.
Yeah, you know, an official guest, like if there's a time that you can let me use. Usually it's like Wednesday nights and Sundays. Like I don't have it set in stone for Sundays, but Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. Standard Eastern Time. So I would love, you know, the rotation I try to put who's ever going to be on my show. I like to have their picture in it so people, oh, this is the person on the show, and they can tune in. And you can even listen to the show once it's saved. If you ever got time, you can look up in the archives and, you know, it's great. Thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it. And did you have, like, any inspirational things to say to anybody out there, you know, that has dreams?
Rachel? That's kind of hard for me because everybody's the same to me. Let me see.
Oh, no, no. I'm inspirational. Yeah. Did I say that correct? Inspirational?
Yeah. Inspirational. Oh, absolutely. You know, if you have a dream, first you have to find reality. I mean, if you're thin, you're short, you're not, you don't have the figure, say, to be in Playboy. That can't be. You know, don't get that goal. Get something you could do. In the entertainment, you could be a director, you could be a producer, you can do any acting. Don't, you know, but be real on what you're going to do. Is it possible? Are you able to do it? And then go for it. You know, try. And if you get shot down once, try something else, as long as you're not hurting anybody. Just, you know, be yourself.
Well, thank you so much, Tommy. And, you know, you can always stay in touch with me on Facebook. And once again, thank you so much for being on the show. And I wish much happiness and many things, you know, like much happiness towards you, Tommy.
I hope we're going to be friends for a long time.
We will. Who knows? We'll probably work on the set and we'll, like, become zombies together or something. Or
maybe you can beat me up. If I'm going to fight you since you're a girl, I'm probably going to lose. That would be great. I'd like to fight you on screen.
Yeah, okay. I look forward to that. Thank you so much, Tommy. Have a good night.
All right. All right. We'll see you later. Right. Be good. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Wow, this was just a really great show, everyone. I had a blast. And once again, I'm looking forward to working and becoming an advocate for the film Bullied, the movie. And you can go to the site and stuff and check it out. And I just want to say, you know, everyone, you know, if you have a dream, just go for it because you're as good as anybody else. And any of those kids out there, you know, that do feel bullied and feel alone, to let you know, I understand because I was there myself at a time. And now look at here. I've grown into adult, and just like you, you will survive. I guarantee you will survive everything that you're going through right now. And believe me, 2013, I do feel that I am going to work with Jackie Chan. I am living proof that you can survive, you know, that bullying torture. So kids out there, you deserve a chance to live. If you have a dream, you go for it. So for all the kids out there, I'm ending the show on this song, The Fighter, for my nephew. So here you go. To you kids out there, everyone, have a good night.
Anxiety sets in, I'm starting to pace. My nerves unsettle, sweat drips my face. Hands take, can't escape this decision I make. Heart racing, my faith says this is my fate. I'm just bracing, I take in the face of adversity. Tasting this certainty, the breaks ain't hurting me. Gain honor, bomb my pain stronger. Fame smarter, street smarter, train harder. Can't stop me, drop me, I'm not losing. I'm too fast, lightning even when I'm not moving. All heart, leave these cowards on cold. I'm hot, not to mention all the power I hold. Keep moving, keep training, headstrong. Be patient, meet them head to head. I don't care if it's the least safest. Not stopping, have a promise to prove I'm a fighter. It's not an option to lose.
evangelist, so pound the myth, cause you know I ain't about to quit. I got my back against the ropes, I'm a warrior kid. I said,